Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Taco Bueno in Arlington.
We did it.
5748. Well, we still have to do the show.
That's
5748 Southwest Green Oaks. I like the idea that Corey's telling us this morning is he made it to the venue.
Yeah.
So his job is complete.
It's kind of like two things I've always thought. I woke up this morning. That's good. You know, like I accomplished something.
That is true.
And then at the end of the night, I go check and see if my kids are still breathing.
Uh-huh.
I was a good dad. You know, I did a decent job that day.
Okay. Well, so if you might need be needed to fill in at some point, because Corey's like, I did my job.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, we've heard there's a baby coming up.
Roll out the banner.
214. Yeah, mission accomplished. Politics.
That is not politics.
No mail route today, but I'm still listening. Take a load off, Kevin, from the 214. Let's get.
Is that the guy that ran into the pole on his mail route?
Yes. I don't know.
Do you think that's the guy that texted in just now?
It could be.
Okay, all right.
And so
we saw him yesterday.
We hid his identity enough to make sure that he stayed employed. Now,
yeah.
Who do you guys fear from the Packers, and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? We didn't get a chance to do this yesterday. We had so much fun out at the ballpark. Unfortunately, the Rangers decided that they did not necessarily need to show up for that game. But we are here, and I wanted to start with a question about Jordan Love.
Okay.
So Jordan Love, number 4 in the NFL this season in passer rating and yards per attempt. And I get it. It's really early in the season. I don't know how much stock you will put in that. However, he just had a turnover in the last game, and that snapped an epic streak of turnover-free football from Jordan Love. And this just feels like a game that if you can't get a turnover or hopefully hold the turnover advantage in the game, I don't necessarily see the path to victory.
So he just got a turnover.
Correct.
A turnover?
I believe that is correct.
Against the best defense in the league?
Yeah, and
they were able to pull that off, huh?
That's true, but it was a bad interception.
Okay.
It wasn't I don't think it was a Cleveland forced interception as much as I was like, that was a bad throw.
No, I get that. And it's not typical of him. But again, I think that's the defense pressuring him into a situation like that. That from what I remember seeing, this dude, the ball gets out of his hands so fast. And it's not just on short throws. It's on deep balls, too. He spins it so well. And the receiving crew that he has, none of them stand out. Like, Jaden Reed was a guy in the mix of all these receivers that they have. They have
a
whole bunch.
Golden eventually will? I know we just started.
I would like to say that, but the Green Bay Packers, the way LaFleur runs this thing, it's like you never know who the hot route's going to be to. You never know who the target is. So it's one of those, like, even Christian Watson's still not out there yet.
Right.
You know, so it's Romeo Doubs is good. Matthew Golden is good. Dontavion Wicks is good. All of these guys have the route ability to go along with it, but Jordan Love makes that thing click. They're going to want to establish the run. Like, that is one thing they're going to want to do. The Packers, I mean, they have Josh Jacobs there for a reason. Matt LaFleur likes to do that. But the ability to go over the top with Jordan Love, you're right. The Cowboys have been – you want them to be ept at getting turnovers.
I do.
Not even – at this point, I don't even need you to win the turnover battle. I just want to see some turnovers. Like, if you can neutralize it, it'll be very helpful. This team, I don't think their defense right now, Kevin – just the way that they look all lost is prepared enough to be creative enough to create turnovers. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. By the way, speaking of turnovers, somebody asked, do you like the apple turnover or the cherry turnover?
Oh, the cheese Danish turnover. Is that a turnover or that, just a Danish?
That was not one of your
options. Okay, I'll go with cherry.
All right. So, for the running game, I have maybe good news on this. The other one you're probably not going to count as good news. Josh Jacobs ran for only 30 yards on 16 carries last week.
Okay.
Now, I know that is against a really good defense, but that was his fewest rushing yards in more than 2 years.
Yeah.
And the Cleveland Browns were also able to break his franchise record of 10 straight games with a rushing touchdown. So those are positives for a Cowboys run defense against running backs that is shown to be not too bad this
year.
Yeah,
and one of the things about that is their offensive line. You discussed it the other day. You brought up their tackles. You brought up their guards. And a lot of, the John Ownings, the Broadduses, the Belts, the ones that we watch. Babe Laufenberg has some good stuff up too. That middle of the Packers offensive line isn't their strong suit either.
Correct.
And so that's another factor in this. I think this could be a really good day again for the Cowboys run defense. And somebody said, "Hey, Cowboys have their 88 rushes against. They're sixth in the league."
Wow, is it that many?
Yeah, and they're still doing well against the run. Like, that's a positive thing. This is if the Packers decide they want to try that. That's beneficial to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think.
Now, I'm going to try to spin this as beneficial, but I understand the counter is we can't rush the passer. Potential issue for the Packers that came up against Cleveland. Jordan Love was pressured. He had 31 dropbacks. He was pressured 13 times.
Okay.
So that is an overwhelming amount of pressure. That was the highest pressure rate he's faced in his career, 42%. And then when he did decide to go ahead and throw the ball, on those pressures, he was 3 for 8
okay.
for 28 yards and got sacked 5 times. So he was disastrous under pressure against Cleveland. And all of those seem like they would set up well, but you've got a pass rush attack that Caleb Williams had never had a game in his career in which he didn't get sacked until he faced the Cowboys last week.
Traditionally, watching Jordan Love, he's at his best when he has a clean pocket. It's weird, like Dak seems to be really good whenever there's pressure coming at him. Like when the blitz is coming, he's good at picking it up, seeing and throwing into the blitz or knowing what his hot route is. But Jordan Love, like, his best comes from clean pocket, feeling comfortable, setting his feet, getting that ball out of his hands. So I totally understand that number is the way it is. He doesn't hold the ball too long, but he doesn't have great awareness about what's happening inside the pocket on him.
Now, I know he's popped up as limited the last couple days in practice. Do you have no doubt that Micah is going to play?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Why would he miss this thing?
Yeah.
Hold on. Now, did Luka miss the first game whenever he was a Laker? I think he did, but he had been hurt, right? Yeah, he missed the first one and then came back for the other one. I cannot see any way that Mike – he was tough enough whenever it was other teams, whenever he was a Cowboy, to keep off the field.
Yeah.
If it was just a little nick or something, he was like, no, I'm out there. I'm going to be out there if I can. This right here, this has purpose. This has revenge factor to it.
Well, with that in mind then, Micah did have 8 pressures last week against the Browns. So when we are talking about the pressure rate that Jordan Love faced, Micah is a one-man pressure.
So you want to just multiply that by 10 for this week and have an 800? Is that what you're thinking?
I would love for him to get double-teamed time and time again and just shut that down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he has been tremendous at pressures. I know the sacks have not been there so far this year, but I do think it's really opened things up for Rashawn Gary to kind of a different effect for Devontae Wyatt.
Dude,
but Micah Parsons has been getting the pressures.
I know this is a who do you fear, Micah, obviously. Adrian Cooper. Like, that dude is having a phenomenal season. They have such great speed at the linebacker position. That just makes it that much more difficult. Javonte Williams is going to have some work, like you were talking about earlier. He's going to have to do a lot of work here because that linebacking group has a lot of speed and can hit really hard. So with the pressure added from Rashawn Gary and what they have, they didn't really drop off that much from Kenny Clark.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the Texas Rangers, the Phoenix Suns, and Conor McGregor. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. Let's do it next, live from Taco Bueno in Arlington on the Fan.
Malley kicks and delivers, and the first pitch is swung on, hit deep to center field. Back goes Hellman to the wall. It is gone. Make it 10 leadoff home runs for Byron Buxton this year.
Well, us being at the ballpark yesterday did no good to help the Texas Rangers. Hopefully, you will do significantly better here today at Taco Bueno in Arlington, 5748 Southwest Green Oaks. We got those Tolo hats to give away, party boxes being given away, Ice Cube concert tickets being given away. So
today's a good day.
Exactly, but only if you're at the Taco Bueno here in Arlington, or else you might need to ask for Forgiveness Friday. Now we're going to start with the Texas Rangers, because yesterday was a really terrible combination of things that happened with the Rangers. They lost 4-0 to the Twins, but also Cleveland finally lost a game to the Tigers.
Yeah, it was a tough game, man.
So the Rangers are 80-79. They need to win at least one game to finish at 500. And now Cleveland is, I mean, they've got a lot to play for either way. But now they are neck and neck once again with the Tigers. And it just feels like that last series is going to be very rough for the Rangers. But yesterday was representative of what I feel like most of the season was. Tyler Malley looked good, and the offense could do nothing, and we lost.
Tyler Malley gave up a home run on the first pitch. What do you mean he looked good?
After that.
Oh, there was more after that?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't have mattered because we couldn't do anything.
Yeah, that was a struggle there.
Yes.
This offense just still lacks everything. And that's why, you know, when talking with Mike yesterday, that was one of the reasons that he thinks that Chris Young is gonna completely change some things this offseason.
Yes.
Which would make a lot of sense, because you can't go into next year going, you know what? These guys, if they play the way we expect them, you can't do that again.
Right.
So that's going to be what, you know, an offseason we have to look forward to. At this moment, Kevin, what are you rooting for then? Like, I was honestly just rooting for the Astros to not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all I really have left. And then I always do this. Whenever the playoffs start, I'll go, okay, now I'll pick a team.
Look, I do still want the Rangers this weekend to win 2 of 3 so they could finish above 500. I know that's not going to change their playoff fate or anything like that. I would love to see Osuna be badass this weekend. But I understand if that's people aren't going to be invested this weekend.
Do you think there is something – I know you brought up the finishing 500, above 500. Do you think there's something to – hey, prove that you want to play for this manager.
I mean, you know what? Like, even if I don't think that or you don't think that, you know who does think that? Chris Young. Mm. Chris Young, 1,000,000% earlier this week with G-Bag, was talking about that exact same thing.
Yeah.
So, I would say that matters.
You think the manager feels that way, too?
Yes, I do. And I think the manager's coming back. So,
well,
I'm just throwing that out there. We don't know that.
I don't want to – I think that the clubhouse was lost this year. And I say that because it's not that it was turmoil inside. It's not like there was, we hate this guy or anything like that. It's just he could never get the right combination of things to work. And he was like, that's got to be frustrating for him.
The more we've heard along the year, there do seem to be two distinct, I guess, factions in the Rangers clubhouse that maybe view the way things should be done very differently.
Okay.
And that's probably not ever going to work.
One faction, let me see if I'm right about this. One faction believes, I can do this on my own. There's a lot of technology I can work with and do this.
Can we pick this up another time?
That sounds good.
Because I think this is a really in-depth conversation that I don't want to skimp on.
Okay.
But I would say that the first part of that faction is not inaccurate.
Yeah, so get ready for that one.
Are you a fan of Conor McGregor? Good.
After he hit that old guy.
Yeah. Which one? Alec, are you a fan of Conor McGregor?
I can't say that I am.
Good, because if you were, I would be like, you might want to cover your ears for this.
Oh.
The D-Wad known as Conor McGregor said he was so excited to fight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
UFC event at the White House. Now he has a list of demands for somebody who's not good at fighting. He would like...
Does he bring ratings still?
Yeah, he
okay,
does.
Yeah.
And
that's what he knows.
That's the hook, and he knows that. He wants $100 million to fight on that card, as well as 100 U.S. golden visas for himself and his family and friends.
What's a golden visa?
I don't know. I've not heard that particular term, but I guess it doesn't matter like where you are in the process whatsoever. It's a visa that's good for life would be my assumption. And let's talk about Conor McGregor. How long do you think it's been since he won a fight? Few years?
5 years?
6.5 years.
Okay.
Now let's talk about that one fight he did win. Good for him. That was his one win in more than, by the time this event happens, it's 6.5 years. And by the time this event happens, he will have that one win in combat sports in 9.5 years. 9.5 years, he has one win
wow.
by the time that this fight takes place. Tell that dude to jog on and move on with your White House card.
A type of residence by investment program that grants temporary or permanent residency in a country to individuals in exchange for substantial financial investments such as real estate or businesses. So if he just buys some stuff, he gets to have permanent residence.
Well, that actually does.
For 100 people.
That does feel like the American way. All right, let's go to Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia. Now, we didn't get an opportunity to play this yesterday. I want to know if you think that Ishbia needs to ask for forgiveness for maybe not understanding what the term success means.
Okay.
My expectations are... I hope that we win more games than we won last year, but the truth is, it's not going to be measured in wins and losses this year, but it is going to be measured in success, and how are we successful?
Okay, I want the rest of the answer.
Now, Corey, he said it's not going to be measured in wins and losses.
That's exactly how sports works.
But how successful we are.
Yep.
What? Do you think it's like if everyone gets golden visas there, too? Like, no, but seriously.
How much money did we earn
yeah,
this year?
How is it? Because you know what this feels like? This feels, Alec, like he's telling me their success will be defined by the friends they make along the way.
I refuse to accept that.
Well, he was saying every play is a win or a loss. Every play in every sport. And he's like, nah, that doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Embarrassed? Yeah. And then finally, does Mike Bassick need to ask for forgiveness? Because he's not on the show again today. He was on the show yesterday. What's his deal?
What a chump.
Yeah. I mean, we're in Arlington.
Yeah, the Rangers play in Arlington.
Yeah, but they're in Cleveland.
Oh,
so,
did he leave to go to Cleveland today? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I was going to try to hide that part so we could run him down, even though he sent us a really nice text message.
That was such a nice text.
It really was.
Really missed that guy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Taco Bueno in Arlington, 5748 Southwest Green Oaks. Coming up next, we'll do some mini baseball nuggets, but also Dallas Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's a great day. Getting ready to go here.
It is a great day, and y'all's quarterback yesterday said something that I thought was really intriguing when he talked about if this game will bring closure to the Micah Parsons trade, and he said, that's something you got to ask Jerry and Micah. To me, the closure happened when the trade happened. Do you still feel like you're seeking any Micah closure? Have you already had it? Will this game bring it to you?
Well, candidly, if closure were an issue, I should have had that discussion with the mirror before I made the trade, or
right.
I was making the trade. Dak's absolutely right. That's when all the drama was gone, is when you decided to make the trade. And, of course, I was very aware that this game would be coming up this Sunday. And so to the extent that this game being here adds to, takes away from, does anything as far as this trade is concerned, doesn't, although it certainly, I knew that we were going to be competing against him pretty quick. Now, let's make no mistake about it. Micah is special, and we all know he is, and he can be disruptive. But we have huge amounts of experience with the anecdotes that we've seen used on us for the last 4 years.
Right.
And while he does make great plays, there is also a way to approach playing against Micah, as we know, because we didn't exactly win the Super Bowl during those years. So bottom line is, when I look at playing him, I think of trying to have him as an advantage when we were playing other teams over the last 4 years. And some plays it looks beautiful. But then other plays, especially running plays, you can wish you'd have had a different formation.
Jerry, then are you hoping that the coaches put a plan together that completely takes Micah out of this game?
No, no, I'm not hoping that. You can't take Micah out of a game. Oh. That's ridiculous. I mean, not a ridiculous statement. I'm just saying it's a thought. If you have, you think you're going to take him out of the game. But you can play him. And trust me, he was played by teams against us over the last 4 years. We saw it all the time. And so now whether or not we can accomplish that, that remains to be seen. But with being trite, we lost games with Micah.
Right.
And that is a trite statement, but we did.
Now, earlier in the week, you said there would be no tribute video. I think we all understand that. Micah, of course, was asked about it, and he said he understood it as well. But there was something he said at the beginning of that statement that fascinated me. He said, there are a lot of things, this is Micah speaking, there are a lot of things that I could consider disrespectful throughout this process, but I wouldn't say the lack of a tribute video is one of them. Do you feel like anything disrespectful took place in this negotiating process?
Not at all. Not at all. I regret if he thinks there was, to him. I didn't get that feeling in any way during any of this deliberation. And it went on for quite a while, as we all know, but it went on beyond the stuff at training camp. And so that just is not the case that it was meant to be. In terms of the sensitivity of it, I understood that from the very beginning, and this was significant to all parties concerned, significant to Micah. Those feelings are always highly sensitive in that setup, and that's not to say that you aren't sensitive to somebody that just does that three or four times in their career. I do, but I've done it hundreds of times, literally.
Jerry, you frequently brought up rivalry, my city against your city, and how much you love that part of it. And this Sunday night has a lot of potential to be kind of maybe a split stadium, because the Packers fans do travel well. Do you anticipate or expect Cowboys fans to have louder boos or louder cheers whenever they see Mike on the field?
Well, I think, you know, we've had numerous double handfuls of players that have returned to play for us. And players that have been with us a lot longer than Micah was.
Mm-hmm.
Micah, of course, to remind everybody, was here 4 years. Some of the players that we use the stories about returning to us were with us much longer than that. And I don't think that this situation calls for a recognition. Micah's just getting started in his career, and at the end of the day, the Cowboys will have been a part of it, the initial starting of it.
Now, fun little, I guess hopefully fun business question for you. Micah said that he was going to have lots of family members in his suite because he bought it before he got traded and he couldn't get a refund once it was he was traded. Is that right?
Well, I don't know about that. We don't. We have quite a list of people in regarding using suites out there. But I know one time his mother, who I know how precious she is to him, wasn't in that suite, and it was at our last preseason game. She was in mine, and we were sitting up there. Actually, she was in my perch up there that we watched the games from, not the actual suite. And she sat there with us all through the first half and sat there with me and discussed the contract and discussed our thoughts and her thoughts about it. So he certainly has some members of his family know where our suites are.
Jerry, this really is just one game. But
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The team is 1-2. We've had a couple of poor performances in a couple of different areas. How important is a win this Sunday night?
Well, every game at this juncture, especially coming off of the disappointment that we had in Chicago, I'm going to say this again. Frankly, when we went into the second half, I can't tell you how much I thought we were going to win that game. Because we'd had their offense out there, the entire defense out there, so much in the first half, and I just knew we'd gotten to their legs. And that's a very strategic point. But to their credit, they stepped out there and kept that ball for almost 10 minutes, I think, of in the first half after we gave up possession of it to start the second half, I mean. So my point is, everybody know, that really follows it understands that. But that was a real surprise. And so, yes, I'd like to think that that's not the way it's going to be. Certainly, we've been making the corrections this week. And it was very clear where we broke down and where we didn't follow the basic assignments that you have to keep the big plays from happening. And hopefully we will have reviewed that, and we can play better than that. We practice a lot better than that, and we have played better than that, where everybody's got a man, cover it. Now, the defense was designed to let some shorter completions happen, but not those big plays. So hopefully we've corrected that. We have had a good week of practice.
Yeah, and I think we are all hopeful, too, that that defense can right the ship there. With what we've seen so far from it, though, how much do you feel this season's going to hinge on Dak's arm and his ability to put up points?
A lot. I think a lot. Mm. And that's no secret, and not that I'm thinking you're saying it is. No, we depend on good quarterback play. That's the plan. And we've had it, frankly, I think, at if I just gave an overall grade this year, I think we've had good quarterback play. I think some other things have stood in the way of keeping us from having a better record.
Now, some of that, especially offensively, you can attribute to now the injury to CeeDee Lamb, injuries to the offensive line. But I wanted to focus on George Pickens. I know he not only wants to contribute for the Cowboys, he would like to show everyone he can be a number one wide receiver. How important are these next few weeks for George Pickens?
For us, and I know that's what you mean, but it's for us, a receiver of his caliber is a number one receiver. And so, yes, if he can come in and play to that, and which he's very capable. And I know that Dak has that kind of confidence in him, which you need between the quarterback and receiver. He's capable of playing to that level, and we sure are going to design it to that level.
Jerry, we were told yesterday, we had a report that Deron Bland is going to play. He said, yes, I'm absolutely going to play. How much will it help having him out on the field?
It has been a tremendous problem for us for him not to be out on the field. So it will remedy that. And he's someone that is extraordinarily consistent as well as capable of making big plays. There's a difference. And we must have consistency, or which is another way in my vernacular of saying soundness in what we're doing. You first go there, and then if you're in position, you make a big play. And so the thinking about it otherwise breaks the secondary down, and we've seen examples of that.
Well, you know, kind of speaking of that, the idea of consistency and making extraordinary plays, we've seen throughout the years Trayvon Diggs make a lot of extraordinary plays, but the consistency seems to have been a struggle so far this year. Do you attribute that strictly to the injury or and coming back from that, or do you have to kind of take a look at he feels like a diminished player so far this year?
Well, I think one thing about the secondary, you've heard it all our lives, you're on an island out there, boy, and when it's coming at you, it's you and not the rest. So he is on an island, and but not just him. He's got to count on and have consistency or have everybody doing what the play calls for. They first have to recognize what's happening, and that's a key. And once they recognize it, all of them have been lined up, should have been, in position to be where they're supposed to be after they recognize the play. When you don't do that, you get the kind of stuff that happened to us last couple of weeks with New York and certainly there with Chicago. We can improve on that. That is an area that is focus. That is work. That is concentration. That is being understanding that is number one, your responsibility. And it's critical the way we're playing the secondary to accept the fact that you first have to recognize where you're supposed to be at the time you're supposed to be there and then go from there on the play.
You know, Jerry, in all the years we've done this, you know, we like to joke around. We talk a lot of heavy sports also, but we also have some big human moments. And I saw yesterday, this week, the Cowboys had they honored some cancer survivors this week. And I was wondering that, you know, they got to go meet the players and say hi and everything. Does that hit home a little more with you than it ever has before?
Well, yes, but I will tell you so often. It seems as though young people are a part of that. Mm-hmm. And now, frankly, that's an elevated feeling about the challenge of cancer. And that seems so unfair. But it's very real. And I will probably, my having experienced personally cancer, probably the thing that is the greatest elevator or positive for me is I have focused in on the cure, the treatment, and the advances in the treatment of cancer since maybe I've been a little more focused than I would have been. That, to me, translates to those kids and those young people. And, you know, usually the parents are just young people.
For sure.
And so it really is a double whammy. And I can say this because I have zeroed in on it more than I normally would have, I'm sure. And boy, are we making great advancement in the treatment of cancer. And in so many cases, it's just not a terminal thing anymore and getting better. So that's one of the great things about at least living in these times.
Now, one of the other things we love about talking with you is you can give us big picture NFL thoughts and business breakdowns. The word was coming around this week that the NFL might be in a position to renegotiate its media contracts. I was kind of hoping you could walk us through the mechanisms in that contract to perhaps set up these renegotiations.
Well, it's a pretty simple concept. It's just that you make a seven-year or you make an extended contract, but one of the parties have the right to renegotiate. And, of course, it's a party that has some leverage, and it's normally not done with both of them because that pretty much mitigates the value of the piece of paper if both of them have the right. But in our particular case, thanks to the great fans that we have and interest that we have in the game, we're able to renegotiate our contracts at a earlier date than the length of the contract. So with that in mind, that's what you're seeing. And we will have in a couple of years the right to go in and renegotiate the contracts. And everybody has always understood that. It's not a negative in that sense, but it's a strategic one and one that lets us keep doing. You know, the whole philosophy is get as much of the games, get as much of the NFL out here as you can free. Mm-hmm. What is free? Free is, in my mind, where the advertising is really the economic support of the presentation of the game or the story. And that's what we are. I'm so proud of that because no entity or no sport, or certainly I don't know of any business that's done a better job of exposing and getting our games and stories about the NFL available to the mass than the NFL has. And that's probably the best thing we've done, period.
Then why do you think the rumors about Amazon Prime Video getting potentially in the future a Super Bowl? Because that is not a broadcast TV free entity.
Yeah, and again, you asked the question, mm-hmm. and so I'm not going to try to make sense of or rationalize, because I first of all don't know what context is put in, and that's not you. It's just generally it's a rumor. And when you have rumors, if you try to answer all rumors, you would come up with a distortion of what it is.
Yeah.
And those are just conversations.
Well, and I'm kind of curious, Jerry, from your own personal perspective and from the league's perspective, where they position themselves, how valuable of an asset is the NFL to broadcast media groups?
Well, I think that, I'll go as far back as Rupert Murdoch and Fox when they came into the league. And, I was just frankly taken back but so buoyed by the fact that he wanted to come in and to initiate his network, because he didn't cover but about 80-something% of the United States. He didn't fully cover the United States. Fox didn't. And he, quote, had no Maddens and he had no talent, but he felt that the NFL itself, if he could get it, it could create relationships with other owned and operated stations like we have here in Dallas.
Right.
Or he could actually go out and buy key stations. He built a network. And really, when it dawned on me what that had happened and where he was going with his plan, I really gained a tremendous knowledge about how to lever the NFL. And in a way, he showed us that with the way he built Fox. And those things are parts of them are true today, and the same leverage is there. The leverage created that much more viewership, as it turned out, and it beget even a better universe, so to speak. So bottom line is that I will tell you, so much of it has been just good timing, the time of the world that we're in. Our game and its ability to have the breaks it has, being focused, the time of year it has. And then I'll be very candid with you. I learned something very early on. Nothing wrong with a little conflict. Nothing wrong with a little off-the-field type interest in what goes on the game. That just adds a little salt and pepper to it.
Every now and again, does Murdoch still give you a call or send you a thank you note?
Well, I yes, and I certainly do him. Right. And boy, I'll tell you guys, I've had such a great experience. Really, I used it a lot. Older, experienced people advising me, and I'd look them up. Well, I'd read about them in the paper, and I'd call them and look them up and go see them. And I did that, and I didn't know them. And then I also had people that were obvious. And to be around George Steinbrenner, to be around those guys, oh, they weren't perfect. And I don't mean to say that behind George Steinbrenner. I can say it behind anybody. But they weren't perfect. But I will tell you this right now. Every little thing you gain from knowing those guys, listening to the way they look at it, listen to their approach, that's called standing on other people's shoulders. And I really never met anybody that did anything that didn't stand on a lot of people's shoulders.
Well, we appreciate the time. As always, good sir.
Thanks, guys.
Best of luck against Green Bay. We'll see you next week. There you go, well, Jerry.
I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited. I hope our fans are. Man, don't think we can't get them. We can get them here. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Ooh, we can get them here. I like that, Jerry Jones, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, I think we're going to go ahead and hit the break now, if that's okay with you. Coming up next, we're going to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, but we also have a special guest who has returned on site to be with us. We'll get that going next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.